Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Grab your Bible if you have it, whether it's in your phone or on the Real Life app, or if you have an amazing paper Bible still, like I have one up here. Go ahead and grab that, get that out. We're going to have a few setup verses, but we're going to be living in 1 Thessalonians 4 today. 1 Thessalonians 4. If you don't have a Bible, there will be notes on the screen. Also, there's notes in the back if you'd like to follow along. And so find your 1 Thessalonians 4 spot, and we're going to do just a little bit of a review and a setup. And then we're going to move in for today. So we're in the middle of our series called Stand Firm. We're looking at both of the letters written by Paul to the Thessalonians. At least that's what most people think. And so you can do some research if you want to have that fun conversation. But they are written to the church in Thessalonica. And there's a bunch of concepts that are being shared within this text. And so we've talked about what does it mean to stand firm. We've done a little historical setup to where we are talking to a people group, which is the church. Right, which we are the church. There's a parallel understanding there. And then this week, we get to specifically talk about what does it look like for us to live in a way that is pleasing to God? How do we live to please God? And so I'll just set you up. I want you to win this morning, so I'm gonna set you up. I'm having a little fun with this series and this message. So I need a little more engagement from you. There's going to be a whole bunch of encouragement. There's going to be some fun stuff. And then you may get offended a little bit. And you may shed a tear. And all of those things I think are very appropriate. So get your ears and your emotions and your heart ready to wrestle with the Word of God today. Because there's a whole bunch of brilliant stuff that Paul's writing that's going to hit every single one of us in a different way. So you've been given permission to feel all the feels. Okay, and to make comments and do all that stuff, just make sure they're appropriate, right? I have to make sure what I say is somewhat appropriate, so you have to act the same way. Deal? Okay, so we're jumping in. A couple questions to get us ready to set up here. A couple fun questions. Are you more an offense person or a defense person? Offense or defense? Let me see my offense people in the room today. Offense, okay, 7. Defense people? Okay, equally, and then there's those of you that are like, I'm not raising my hand, and I'm nothing. You're a liar. Okay? Some of you may think that defense wins championships. Okay? Can't win if you don't score. Can't win if you don't score. Which one is the right one? Yes. Okay? Offense, defense, you need both. There is both. You can't just say all games are always offense. And you can lead one way or the other. That's fine. Okay, let's switch it up a little bit. Are you a person that more focuses on what you can do? I'm a doer. I'm going to go achieve. I'm going to do this stuff. Or are you a person that's more like the avoider? The watch out, don't do, look out, stop, don't do. Are you the doer? Let me see the doers. Go get it. Let's go. Build. Okay. How about the be careful, watch out, play defense, look out for it. Okay. Which one of those is the right one? Yes. Okay. The same thing is going to be true as we look into Paul's letter today. Okay. What God is going to reveal to us as we go through this, if we're willing to see it, is there's not always equal measures, but there's always measures of both. As a believer, we get the opportunity to look into God's word and say, what is it with some integrity and some honesty, some clear objectivity that I need to do? What is it that I strive for? What is it that I embrace, that I'm about? I'm on offense, I'm the doer. God has invited you to do a part. There is a part to play. True. And part of your part to play, is there some stuff where you just need to flat out knock it off? Stop. Don't do that. Avoid that. Don't be that. Quit doing that. Stop making excuses. Y'all need to stop. You just quit. Do this defense. Don't. Okay? Yes is the answer to that. Wherever you find yourself this morning, that's fine. I'll let God speak to you through his Spirit. But when we look at what does it mean to be a people that live to please God, you're going to see both in this text. This is a small version of many versions that we get in the Bible of what God invites us into, to be pleasing and to be set apart, to live and to find life that God offers us. This is not the only case. There's many, but we're going to stick just in these little pieces. Sound good? You ready? Okay, so we're going to set up our Thessalonians piece by asking ourselves the question, can you actually live in a way that's pleasing to God? What do you think? Yeah? Maybe? Depends? Okay, the answer is yes. We can all agree that maybe it's yes. Maybe you don't agree that it's yes. My follow-up question would be, does that mean that it's easy? Do you always believe it and feel it and embrace it and know it? No. But it would be important to me, and I would wager important to you, that I want to know, is there actually a way that I can live that is pleasing God? The answer is yes. Before I talk about what is it that pleases God, we're going to look at what displeases God. What is it that displeases God? Okay, we're in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's in your notes. It'll be on the screen. This is what displeases God. Okay? Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. We're going to stop right there. Very intentionally picked this verse, this chunk of verses to set this up, because I believe and will never stop sharing the story that in the beginning in creation, God has created humanity in his image and in his likeness, and he loves it, and he loves you. For those that believe and place a faith and trust in God through Christ Jesus, our resurrection story, there is no longer condemnation for you. I'm starting here on purpose, because oftentimes in my own life and maybe in yours, when we start to have this conversation of what is it that's displeasing and not good, I've had times where I'm like, you know what's displeasing and not good to God? Me. And I can't escape it. I've tried. I keep messing it up, and I'm not good enough, and how come I haven't learned by now? And I got lots of people reminding me how I fall short. And you know what? This whole, like, man, leaving to please God, phooey. Because God's displeased with me. No matter what I do, no matter how I do it, all I'm reminded of over and over again is, you know what? God's angry and he hates me and I fall short. Man, what an excitement it is. And I'm saying that not to be a Debbie Downer. I'm saying that to be honest with you, because I get the responsibility to share what I believe is God's truth. And if we don't share it honestly, then what are we doing? So to start with that, the encouraging and reminder, whether you believe it or pick it up or not today, is that God is not displeased with you. He's not displeased with you. He is displeased with some things, and the invitation for you today is to see that sometimes it's the decisions that you make and the belief that you have or lack thereof. But there are no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Today where you sit, maybe before we even dive into that, that's the message that you need to hear, is that God is for you. He is with you. Those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior for a sacrifice that changes your life have been given the Spirit of God so that you may find life in it. God loves you. He just doesn't love some of the things you do sometimes. And we get to talk about that today too. Okay, so put in your pocket or your book or whatever you have today that God loves me and he's for me and that you're gonna take that through the rest of this message, agreed? Okay, if you're struggling with that, don't change your perspective. Still live in it and talk about it and learn through God's word today. God says there's no condemnation for those as a person in Christ Jesus. But let's see what he also says. Okay, verse 3. For what the law is powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering for us. What you could not do, God did for us. And so he condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who have placed a faith in Jesus live according to the what? The Spirit. Not according to the flesh. Here's where we're going to get some detail. Those of us that choose, choice, decision, priority, action, actually do things that are according to the Spirit are those who live in Christ Jesus in the freedom that he believes and gives. Or we could be a people that choose to not walk in the freedom that comes from Jesus, yet to be a person that is more focused on what Paul calls the flesh. The word sarx is speaking not of your physical body, but is speaking of that inner piece of you that is driven solely for you. self-ruled passion, my desires, my wants, my way, my timing, my how, me, the center gut part of me, if I live by that and I promote that and I prioritize that and I fight for that, I'm living a life according to the flesh. And God says that Jesus, through his life given on the cross, put that to death. Do you believe that? What God says is that that's what's offered to you. A person that is set free lives by the Spirit, not by the flesh. He goes on. Verse 5. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. True? Those that live according to it set their minds upon it. Think about it, pine on it, plan for it, right? My money, my resources, my effort. The way I feel, that's me, that's set upon the actions and the belief and the priority of that which is me, flesh driven. However, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Here's where it gets really good, slash hard. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Not like death, is death. The mind of a person that is set upon living for yourself, pleasure, whatever that may be, sensuality, me, mine, I, only me, is what? It's death. If you were part of our Easter series, I encouraged that we would not be dead people, dead life people, right? Paul's saying the same thing. Think about this for a second, you guys. Really honestly for a second. You know, the seasons, the moments, for some of us, the lifetime, living in a world that is prioritized for me. And you know that you know that you know, whether you acknowledge it or not, that that is actually brought about in your inner being death. It's never enough. You're never enough. What it requires from you to sacrifice in order to try to get life is never enough. You're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to find life. And a mind and an entire lifestyle that is set upon pleasure for me over anything else is a walking dead person. Guess what God says about that? It's displeasing to him. That's not a surprise, is it? Do you think that God is displeasure with that? Because he's mean and hates you and just hopes that you fail all the time so he can prove that you're wrong? That doesn't sound like this story right here. It sounds like a God that is good, loving father that says when you choose death over life, it's displeasurable for him. It hurts him. Doesn't like it. So what's the opportunity? He says, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot what? Please God. That's pretty black and white, right? Well, we're not starting very good this morning. There's lots of quiet, like you're like waiting for something. It's okay, you should be. Right? What's displeasurable to God? When we as individuals reject and don't believe and say me over everything else. When you say me over everything else, when I pick me over everything else, guess what I'm willing to do for myself? Whatever it takes. Anything. You get in my way, I'm taking you down. Okay, you don't agree with me, you're not my friend anymore. You want to say stuff to me that I don't like, unfriend. Right? Oh, you want to push a little bit more, I'm going to find a way to get you. Was this just me? Blake's? No, this all of us. You know what I'm talking about. When your mind is set upon you and only you, you'll do whatever it takes. That's displeasurable to God. That's harmful to yourself and it hurts others and God is not pleased with that at all. Should he be? No. Does that mean that God doesn't love you? No. Parents in the room, when your kid is acting a fool, do you like it? Is it pleasurable to you? Are you like, mommy loves you. Thank you so much. Good, good, good. No, you're like, what do I do to like, I pull my hair out. It's displeasurable. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't love them. It means you have displeasure with the choices and the decisions that they make. As a parent, your desire is that your child would trust and learn to love and believe in you. It's no same with God. That's where we get that. Okay, so if that's displeasurable to God, right? What is pleasing to God? Because you said we could live in a way that's pleasing to God, right? And we agreed, whether you like it or not, when you came in here, you agreed to at least have to listen, or you could leave if you want, to what does God say is true about that? So here's what's pleasing to God. The opposite, Paul says the same thing in Romans 12. All right, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He goes on to say that the way in which you do that is you do not conform to the pattern of the world around you, but instead by the transforming or the renewal of your minds, right? Be about that which is living to please God. And so the way in which we have a pleasing, holy, set apart life is to be a like God person, image and likeness, which is a life of love and sacrifice for others, not ourselves. Which gets us to our 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 part. There's 12 verses here. This is kind of our anchor text. We're going to read through it, and we're going to pull out just some very objective pieces about what Paul says. Some pretty black and white stuff. Some stuff has a little bit of levity, a little bit of fun. Some of it might punch you in the stomach. Are you here for it?
Yes.
I hope so. It's God's word. It's been prayed for. It's not mine, but I hope that you would see what the invitation is for you today. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1 through 12. We're going to read through it. It says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. This fact is some of you are living. Now we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for you know the instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. You should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God, and that in this matter, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or a sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Spirit. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family through Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business, work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So, here's what Paul is saying in the encouragement to say, what is a life that is pleasing to God? We know that we have the opportunity in Christ Jesus to choose to do that, or we can choose to be a person that lives for me, myself, and I according to the flesh. The choice is ours. Will we walk in the Spirit? Will we walk according to the desires of our own flesh? So we're going to pick this apart. We're going to talk about this a little bit, and we're going to hopefully be inspired to be people that trust the Lord. So how do we live in a way that pleases God? First and foremost, out of the gate, he says, follow the instructions given by the authority of Lord Jesus. Where are the instructions at? Right here, right? Do you find it interesting that Paul starts with this for them? Now, again, they didn't have this. They had this, okay? I don't find it weird at all that that's where Paul starts. I don't find it weird at all that that's where Paul starts, because that's where it starts for me. When I start to get sideways and I start to live for myself, it's because I don't follow what God has invited me into. Now, there's lots of reasons for that. Now, sometimes it's because I forgot, or I have fear, or I get anxious, or the circumstances are that way. But what Paul says to them and what I'm sharing with you today is that the very first step of being a person that chooses to want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord is to follow the instructions. Here they are. Maybe for you today, that's the thing that you needed to hear, is that you're sideways because you don't know how to not be sideways. Or you wonder why you're sideways, and then we recognize and we have a conversation like this, you go, I don't actually know the instructions. I don't know how God invites me to live. I don't know what's good and bad. I don't know the story of God. I don't know the people of God. I don't know myself because I don't know who God is. I don't know what is good. I don't know what is bad. I don't know when and how much and where and how, because we don't know the rules. How can you live to please God if you don't know God? True? Now he says it's been given by the authority of Lord Jesus. We have the full measurable, the whole part of the story, and we get the opportunity to be people that live a holy, pleasing, set apart life because we know how. Amen? I hope you have a Bible. If you don't, we'll give you one. I hope you read it. If not, I would encourage you to read it. I hope you don't do it on your own. That you'd be willing to find in the instructions are the instructions to do it together. That's what the church is. is a group of people that walk along the journey of life together, sharing and learning the instructions and keeping each other encouraged and accountable and sometimes offended because of the instructions of the Lord. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Okay? Follow the instructions given by the Lord. He says the goal of this is to be sanctified. Sanctified means holy. Holy means set apart. First service is crushing you right now, just so you know. The engagement and the process, you're like ninth place out of eighth right now. Okay? Sanctified means holy. Holy means set apart. All those definitions mean to be different. Okay? A life that is pleasing to the Lord is a life that is different than the world that we live in. It's different than the people and the relationships that you have that don't know God, that aren't people that love, that sacrifice, that share. The way in which you are to be a life that is pleasing to God is a life that is different. Are you okay with that? See, if you're like me, sometimes I'm like, I love it. Yes, be different for God. And then in a real circumstance, I'm like, no. Nope. Because I'd rather have the praises of people over the praises of God. I'd rather be comfortable than do the right thing. I'd rather not offend somebody than be honorable to my God to say, man, I'm a little bit different, which means saying no to some things and saying yes to other things, which means making decisions that aren't always applauded by the people in my life that don't know the Lord or the community or the world or the government or the society. The choice to be different, to live in the spirit, is different than the choice to live in the flesh, which is condemned and ruled by the world. The goal to love God and love other people means you will look different. Are you okay with that? Will you embrace that? See, for me, these are the real questions. It's great to come in here and go, yeah. And then something happens, you get cut off twice on the way home, right? You're frustrated and hungry because you haven't eaten yet. And you're like, I'm not looking any different than anybody else. But I love Jesus. Does it mean you do it perfect? Being sanctified doesn't mean perfect. It means set apart. Do you do it different? What happens when you completely lose your mind and you pop off in the car with your kids in the back when you get cut off? Are you different? Are you something, right? Doesn't mean you do it perfect, but we ask for forgiveness when you do it wrong. We ask for grace and mercy when you find yourself there. The goal is to be different. You'll be different. If you want to live a life to the Lord, you'll be different. Just part of it. He goes on and says, this is a not a confusing one, okay? Avoid sexual immorality, period. Do you see that in there? Lots of concept, lots of invitation, lots of ideas, loving and be sacrificial. Avoid sexual immorality, period. Every single person in this room, whether you yourself, somebody immediately close to you, has been devastated by sexual immorality, period. None of that is good. None of that is pleasing. None of that is helpful. Anytime any one of us have made that decision to try to find life and purpose in sexual immorality, have found ourselves with death, period. It is not pleasurable to God. I don't care how you define it. I don't care how you want to change it. I don't care your circumstances. Never is any action of sexual immorality ever good for anyone, period. True? Okay. That should break your heart. Because it's true, because it happens, that's the reality that we live in. And for some of us, it should stir up the ability to want to save people from a life of death because they're stuck there. Any form of immorality, whether that's addiction, whether that's pornography, whether that's unhealthy premarital relationships or unhealthy in-marital relationships, any form of that devastates people and it devastates God. Do you see how Paul just goes, the message is no different. Okay, but that's not an isolated message. That is a message to say, what are you, church, willing to do about that? Maybe you find yourself stuck in death and bondage right now. You need help. Raise your hand. Not really. I caught myself. But that's not. Ask for help is what I meant. Okay, ask for help. People exist in this room to help people recover from that. Okay, we have a recovery ministry. We have a life group ministry. We have people. We have individuals. Okay, some of them have been destroyed by their own decisions that want to help you not be destroyed anymore. None of that is good. And guess what? If you're going to be a person that's willing to take a stand for that, guess what you're going to look like in this world? Different. Different. You can catch heat for it, right? Oh, you don't love and you don't care. And yet, nope. Actually, that's the most loving, caring thing you can do is show a person what a pure, healthy sexual lifestyle looks like. Amen? I'm not going to hammer on that any more than I already have. It's very direct. You'll look different to be people that are pleasing to God, makes decisions and priorities with their finances, with their conversations with their kids, with their conversations with their spouse, with a coworker or anybody around to stand for integrity of what God says is good. You'll be different. You'll find life in it. And you'll give it to other people. That's what's pleasing to God, is that we would snatch people from the fire, that we would find them in a life of death and help them understand that that's bad for them and for other people. No form of it is good. Let's bring a little levity to the conversation. Or not. The next one says, learn self-control that is holy and honorable. Learn self-control that is holy and honorable. Who likes to control things? Okay. No, who really? Like, who really is like, oh, but I'm good at it. Like, God's given me the gift of control. Some of you, like in Galatians, right? You're like, I'm just gonna scratch out one of these words. I'm gonna circle the other one. I'm good at being controlling. I'm good. I'm helping people. Okay? I speak to myself on this one. Okay? When things in my life get out of control, I grab for control. Okay? When things are hard, I want it to be easier. When I don't have certain things, I don't know what God's doing, I don't know the timing, I don't know the circumstances, or even if I am following the Lord into doing something he has for me, and it feels like I'm unstable, I fight for control somewhere. And if you're like me, I fight for control in my marriage because it's close and it's easiest. Okay, maybe I fight for control with my friends, those that are near and dear to me, because I can just lose it with them and they're fine, but I'm gonna control something. So guess what? It's you. What does Paul say that it is that you're supposed to control? Yourself. For those of us that find ourselves in that spot of out of controlness, God says the first thing that I'm inviting you to find health and life and freedom in is control, and it's to control yourself. Through the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forbearance, and long-suffering, and self-control. Paul's writing to them, he's encouraging us to say a life that is pleasing to God is a person that fights to control themselves. Okay? Who fights to control everybody else than themselves? I can find myself there, right? I want to control them. I want to control how you talk. I want to control the circumstances. I want to control my boss. I want to control my wife. I want to control my friend. I want to control everything, because if I have control, then I'll feel better. Does that ever really happen, by the way? Like when you're like, I've got it all under control. And then you're like, I think maybe for this second. Never goes that way. You're not in control. Are you? No. Guess who else you're not in control of? Other people. Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that, right? I like to be in control of God. I like to be in control of me. I like to be in control of other people. I like to just be in control because I find life in control. No, you don't. Guess what you find in control? Death. Guess what you give other people when you feel like you're in control of them? The same. Okay, Paul says to fight to have self-control that is holy, which means it's different, and honorable to others, God included. For those of us this morning, when you go, what is the next step that I have to please God? Maybe today is the day where you look in the mirror longer than you look at everybody else. That you would be willing to say, God, what are you doing in me? Did you listen to the song that we sang this morning? When we are a people that will say, here is my offering, God. Here is where I lay it down. I'm gonna make room to live a life that is sacrificial like Jesus. This is my offering to you. I'm doing this out of a will of self-control led by the Spirit to lay my selfish life down. That's honoring and pleasing to God and other people, and you'll find life in it. If you wanna control something, start with yourself. Yeah, you're like, come on, right? Let's take it one step further. I'm not writing it. I'm just reading it. Well, what about people? What about the other people that don't? What about them? What about all the other people that need me to remind them that they're not doing what they're supposed to do? What about them? Because somebody's got to tell them. Right? Here we go again. This is the giftedness of God that he's given me. I am now the police of life. I am the judge. I am the reminder. I am the condemner. I'm the teacher. I'm the law. I'm everything because I love you. So how can I help? I'm just going to tell you, right? You see where I'm going? He jumps, I'm jumping ahead a couple of verses. He says, for those that are rejecting the offer of God, who are they actually rejecting? God. How many of us this morning think that when people are acting the fool, living sideways, that they're actually choosing it to hurt and offend you? Now, some people do that, don't they? When you live according to the flesh, nobody cares about you. They care about themselves. It's very obvious. They'll step on you, kick you, steal from you, do whatever it takes because they care about themselves and not you. But they are the ones that are rejecting God, not yourself. That's a hard one, guys, for me. Because it really feels like they're rejecting me. They're trying to hurt me. They're out to get me. And then I get all fleshy on the inside and I'm like, well, I need to tell everybody about that. I tell everybody about how it's not okay. Let me tell you about what they're doing. Let me tell them what they're doing. Right? God says that his part, not yours, is to be the one that is going to bring to fruition justice in the lives of people. He will do it with finality when he returns, but he does it in the lives of every person as his will and timing and pleasure chooses, not yours. So who is it that you're supposed to control? It's yourself. Guess how long that'll take you? Y'all got plenty to do. Right? We got plenty to do. Man, what would it look like if we were people that said, man, what would it be if we committed to controlling and working and letting God change us from the inside first? What would that look like? Could you imagine? You've been on the other side of it. You know who you know. You're like, man, that person is sacrificial. That person fights for humility. I know this person is a real person too, because I've seen him with bad days. I've seen him get sideways. I've seen him get angry. But man, for the most part, I can see that the Spirit of God is working in this person because they are working on controlling these desires that we all have. Maybe not perfectly, but man, they care about that. And then you know the other people that just can't wait to tell you how you messed it up again and how you're not keeping your end of the bargain. And how you're not being what God said or what he said, she said, or your kid said, or your dad said, or your boss said. You just can't wait. They're like, man, that you know what I want to do with those people? Can't say that. But it's like, I'm like, man, I don't want to be around you. Why? If you're like me, I already know where I'm falling short. Right? I don't need you to remind me all the time. And then Jesus very clearly says, don't be worried about the speck in another person's eye when you have a complete house in your own. That's what he says. Don't worry about that. Would you be worried about yourself? Okay? Self-control. To live according to the passions of the lust of those who do not know God. That's a do not one, right? Where are my defense people at? Let's go. Defense. Do not live according to the lusts and the passions of those that do not know who? God. Here we go. Okay, put your vest on. Be tough for a second. Okay? If you want to grow in the Spirit of God and in the likeness and the image of God, it would be wise for you to participate in community with people that are likewise. True? If you're hanging out with people that don't know the Lord, that's not going to help you unless you have the ability to enter into it with some maturity. So I'm going to take two things apart here. Are we called to reach lost people? Yes. Are we called to be light in the darkness? Yes. If you cannot be a person that can stand firm when you're in the presence of people that don't know God, you should not hang out with them anymore. What is it that they want to do? Not the things of the Lord. Okay, let's get ultra practical here, right? You ever found it when you hang out with people that you make really bad decisions with because those are the decisions they want to make? They're like, hey, let's go spend more money than you have. Hey, let's go drink more than you should. Hey, let's go hang out with people in an environment that you shouldn't be in. Somebody that's enticing you to build up the sensuality of your life. Hey, let's go have unhealthy relationships. Hey, let's be isolated. Hey, let's go be about the things of the world. And when you spend more time with them, you end up being like them. You've heard that before. Don't hang out with people that are not good for you. Right? Yeah, I mean, think about it. And guess how they're going to receive that? Not well. Are you different? What does it look like for you to go, I'm sorry, I can't hang out with you anymore because every time I do, I get drunk. That's not good for me. I can't go with you. I can't be a friend with you anymore because you're pushing me to a financial ruin. I am not disciplined. I can't do that. You wanna talk this way? You wanna act this way? You wanna be this way? You wanna isolate me from people? I can't do it. You wanna pull me away from God? That's not good for me. You wanna promote me to be bad in my marriage? I can't hang out with you anymore. You know who you're talking about. You know who I'm talking about, right? And you come back and your wife's like, man, why are you hanging out with that guy? Because you're a complete jerk every time you come back. I don't like that. That's not weird, right? Do not follow those that are leading you away from God. Now here's the real like gut punch. I'll give first service, I'll give it this service now. You know what that means? You might not like the people that you're supposed to hang out with, right? They might not be as fun as those other people, but you might not wake up destroyed the next morning either. Are you hearing me today? And what if that person that you may not like as much as your fun buddies are not there to make you happy, but they're there to change your life, to make you holy and pleasing to God and set apart and different? Maybe that's who you married. Maybe that's who you're raising right now. Maybe that's your boss. Maybe that's your kid. Maybe that's somebody else that you went, I don't really like this, but man, God in his mercy has placed this relationship in my life to offer me the ability to find life in it. Or not. Or just have fun and go back and live for me in what I like, in what I want. And when I get in that spot and you're in my way, look out, because you're just another casualty. I'll step on you, I'll steal from you, I'll offend you, and I don't care because I don't care about you. I care about me. And here within lies the tension. Do I live a life of death? Or am I willing to be a person that says I can please God by being sacrificial and by committing to be a part of a group of people that call themselves the called out ones, the different ones, that may not be the funnest, they may not have your hobbies involved, but they care about you and they will listen and they will spur you on towards the Lord. And I will tell you this as we get close to end today, those are the people that actually care about you. Those are gonna be the people that you would go, man, just like Jesus did, I can now call you my friend because you actually love me. And in time, as we choose to do that as a group of people together, lives change. The kingdom changed. We become a people that live to please God if we do that. Or not. You get the choice. You get that decision. Who do you want to be? As we end here this morning, you can continue to read through the rest of it. I've already said some of the things, but don't take advantage of other people. Don't be a person that just stomps on others for your sake. It's one of the most giant threads throughout the entire Bible, is that God gets the most grieved, the most displeased when we are a people that take advantage of others for our own sake. Jesus is the complete opposite. He's willing to lay his life down for others. He's willing to sacrifice for others. He's willing to walk with people. He's willing to listen. He's willing to forgive and show mercy and grace. Would we be people that are the same? As we end here, we get to look at the rest of it. I'm just gonna read a couple things off because I'd like to. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Calm down. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, a life of love. Mind your own business. That's what it says. Mind your own business. Yeah, but I like other people's business. Remember, I'm supposed to tell everybody what's right and wrong and I control everything. Right? Mind your own business. Unless you're there to help, unless you're there to love, unless you're there to be a part of it, the way that Jesus did, long-suffering, patient, kind, sacrificial, mind your own stinking business. You got plenty of business to deal with yourself, right? Okay. Work. There's a difference between being willing and being able. If you're able to work, you should. If you're unwilling, it's displeasurable to God. Work is not for yourself. Work is intended to provide, and it is work, and it's intended to provide for others. Where to work? Which summarizes in this, that in your daily life and everything that you do and the relationships that you have, the jobs you have, that you would live such a life that outsiders would be encouraged by the way that you are. That in you, they would see something different. That they would find hope in a life that you live, not condemnation, not control, not judgment, not finger pointing, not meddling in their business, not telling them all the things they're doing wrong, but that they would be inspired by the quiet, diligent, sacrificial life that you choose to be different with, that they would say, something's different. And you say, let me tell you about who he is. Let me tell you about what's different, my God and Jesus, and you set people free. Amen. Next week, because we need it, we get to continue this conversation and talk about how do we encourage one another in this journey. Who needs to be encouraged? Come on, all of us do. And so we get to continue this walk together and say, how do we encourage one another to fight the good fight? Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.